السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are moving on now to another subheading which reads an excellent method of softening one's husband. Right? Here is an excellent way, excellent method that will save woman from many a difficulty. It will turn a tyrannical husband into a lamb. But remember now, you don't want to turn your husband into a lamb so that you can do evil. That mustn't be the maqsad. It will turn a foolish husband into a sensible human being and an irreligious husband into a pious man. The formula for this is that whenever there is an altercation between your husband and yourself, never try to justify what has happened. Even if the fault is his, admit that it was yours and ask for forgiveness. This will save you from the consequences of his anger and will allow him to cool down. When his temper has subsided, speak to him nicely and explain to him that it is wrong for him to continuously scold you without verifying the matter. Then clarify the contentious matter with him. He will then feel ashamed of himself and will always think before doing or saying anything in the future. Admitting one's fault and seeking forgiveness can soften the hardest hearts and extinguish the severest flames of wrath and fury. It can also turn an arch enemy into a bosom friend. In the words of the Creator of man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, it comes in the 24th sipara. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. The meaning of that is, do not, you know, the translation they're giving in the kitab is good and evil cannot be equal. Good and evil cannot be equal. So what you must do is idfa billati hiya ahsan, resist or repel with that which is best. Repel with that which is best. And the one between yourself and whom there was enmity will instantly become like your bosom friend. That instead of repelling evil with evil, that person did something wrong, now we also want to do something wrong. No, that person did something wrong, we do something good in return. Do something good in return. Right? Slowly you will find that very same person who was showing enmity towards you, the very same person will become your bosom friend. The very same person will become your good friend. When one fights evil with good, such as replying to someone's swearing by using sweet words, the person will soften. In fact, a wise man once claimed that if one eats something sweet when in anger, while one will begin saying sweet words. Try this for yourself and see the results. When a woman regards her husband to be her pride and honor, her leader, her means of entering Jannah, and her true friend, his little hut will be like a palace for her. Even though she may not be able to have the best of foods, clothing and furniture, she will count her home as being among the dwellings of Jannah. In the words of Hazrat Shaykh Saadi Rahmatullah Ali, a good and obedient wife can turn a pauper into a prince. If a man gets a good wife who is also pretty, he will be extremely fortunate. However, if she is only beautiful, without a good character and without piety, she will be a bane for him instead. Or we can use the word pain. She'll be a bane or a pain for him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save all Muslim men from such women. See, one advice I give you, little advice from my side, is that look, no matter what the situation, never ever lose respect for your husband. Whether it's in an argument, whether he has done something totally incorrect, whatever. But you must always remember that, look, this is my husband. Don't lose respect for him and don't ever disgrace him in front of other people. Don't disgrace him in front of other people. Yes, sometimes there is a dispute between marital partners, right? Husband and wife, there is a dispute. So they have to go to an elder or they have to go to an alim or somebody to try and resolve the dispute. But even there, when the wife has to now mention whatever is hurting her or what her husband may be doing that she is not happy about, she must mention it with a lot of modesty and she must mention it with a lot of respect. She must only divulge that amount that is necessary for her to get her point across. She must never disgrace her husband in front of anybody else. Understand? Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat, Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, has reported the incident of a woman whose tongue was extremely malicious. Because of her insolence, her husband often hit her. Husband used to get mad with her. She used to carry on one way, insulting him, swearing, saying different things. So eventually, he used to give her 1-2 shots, right, to keep her quiet. However, her tongue could not be silenced even while hitting her. Now remember, it's not permissible for a husband to be hitting his wife like how you hit an enemy or something. Right? That is not permissible. Right? Annoyed and frustrated with all the hiding, she eventually approached a buzurg for advice. She requested him to give her a taweez that would tame her husband and make him subservient to her and make him love her. You see, always we put the blame on the opposite party. She's not thinking that the cause of the problem is her own tongue. She just wants a taweez, must cool down her husband's temper. She can carry on insulting, she can carry on swearing, all that is no problem, but the husband's temper must get cooled down. This buzurg somehow realized that she was being beaten because of her own malicious tongue. He therefore asked her to bring him some water so that he could recite something and blow in the water. Make some dumb paredo pani, When she did this, he told her that whenever her husband was angry, she should take a handful of this water into her mouth and sit down. If she did this, he said, her husband will stop hitting her. So every time you see your husband getting angry, just put one mouthful of water in your mouth and just sit on one place. When she started doing this, every time her husband became angry, she was too occupied to tell him anything, and he gradually became angry less often until he finally stopped getting angry with her. Allah Ta'ala has granted woman the ability to get away with many things by merely speaking sweetly with their husbands. When a woman kindly asks her husband to forgive her, he has no option but to forgive. It is probably for this reason that the evidence of only woman in many court proceedings is not accepted. The way there's only woman giving evidence, this is not accepted. By shedding a few tears, a woman can turn the heart of a judge into wax and easily have judgment passed in her favor. Even the brothers of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam used their tears to convince their father of their innocence. Alright? A malicious tongue is a common disease among women and stems from pride. They continue arguing their case so that they never have to bow their head in submission. Bow the head, we're not talking physically bow the head. What we mean is, they just carry on arguing so that they don't have to say, I'm sorry. This is all out of pride. She's too proud to say, I'm sorry. Right? May Allah Ta'ala grant all women the ability to admit their faults and ask for forgiveness. May Allah Ta'ala also grant all men the ability to run their homes efficiently and the ability to resolve disputes amicably after hearing all sides. Ameen. Right? Now, you see, in the top section, where they said that a woman can turn a judge's heart into wax just by shedding a few tears. This thing we experience all the time. A lady will phone you. She got a problem now with her husband or something, right? She'll phone the Jamiat office, or she'll phone an alim in his individual capacity. And the way she'll complain and she'll start shedding tears and, you know, I'm being treated like this and for so many years I'm going through all of this and whatever. So eventually now you feel you're so sorry and you think, what a zalim husband this man, how can he do this to this woman and all that. But eventually when you get the husband and you sit down with the husband and the wife and then you listen to the husband's side of the story, then it's a whole different story altogether. A whole different story altogether. So this is a very, very dangerous thing. This is why you must never ever come to conclusions just by listening to one side of the story. You will, Allah Pak bless you, or you'll get married. Then comes a time when you have children. Now comes a time when your child gets married. Now your daughter phones you to complain to you. That, you know what, my husband is treating me like that, my mother-in-law is treating me like this. Never just listen to the one side. Don't just listen to your daughter and then after that phone the mother-in-law and start creating a big problem and make a big fitna. No. Get the other side of the story as well. Get the other side of the story as well. I think I gave you all this example. A girl had asked the husband to go to her mother's house. To go to her mother's house for a holiday. The husband had agreed. Right? Now when the time came close, now the girl is asking the husband, so, I need to go this weekend. So you're going to be taking me, or what must I do? What arrangements must I make? So the husband says, hey, I'm not letting you go nowhere. You can forget about it. You're not going nowhere. Right? The girl now phones her parents. You see what a liar he is. He said he's going to bring me. Now he's saying, I can't come. This, that. Right? Now luckily, the parents were sensible people. They were sensible people. So the father phoned the husband. Father phoned the husband. Right? And just general talking nicely. You know? Then the husband explained to the father that, you know what? No, don't worry. I am bringing her. I am bringing her this weekend. So then the father asked her, but she's saying you said she can't come. The husband says, no, I didn't mean it like that. What I was saying is, I'm not letting her go. In other words, I'm going to miss you so much, where I'm going to let you go? So out of love and muhabbat, expressing his muhabbat, he said it. Not that now he's spiting you and he doesn't want you to go. Understand? So you have to listen to two sides of the story. And listen to me. Listen to me. Take this one advice. Take this one advice of mine, right? Put it in your head. Engrave it there somewhere on your brain. And never forget it. Never forget this one advice I'm giving you. What is this advice? You see, when you got a problem with your husband, right? Or you need to discuss something important with your husband. Right? Don't ever do it through WhatsApp or BB or SMS. Or email. Don't use any of these things. Right? I'm not saying you can't BB your husband. No problem. If your husband got BB, you also got BB, and you're discussing he's going to Durban for a meeting, he reaches Durban, he sends you one BB, alhamdulillah, reached safely, you send him one BB, okay, Allah Pak, make your meeting go easy for you. All that is fine. All that is fine. But you see, when there's tension, say you all had an argument. Arguments happen. In marriage, arguments happen. Don't look at fairy tales. Don't read fairy tales and think marriage is one big fairy tale. No. This is real life out there. This is real life out there. With smelly nappies and napkin bags, nappy bags and milk bottles and husband's tempers and mother-in-law's rotis and everything. This is the real life. Yeah, all that fairy tales in the storybooks, that is fairy tales, that is make-believe. Fool's paradise. Right? So in the real world, arguments will take place. Now if you had an argument with your husband, right? Now say for example, the day before that you'll be on good terms. You'll be on good terms. So he told you that, look, I need you to do me a favor. When you're going to pick the children up from school, there's an important parcel to be picked up at the post office. Please pick it up for me. So he gives you the documentation and everything and tells you to pick it up. Now you all were on good terms yesterday. Now this morning on the breakfast table, some tamasha happened, you all had an argument. Right? Now, in this advice, I give you another advice. I think I mentioned this to you before, but I'm mentioning it to you again. Don't go to sleep while you and your husband are upset with one another. Ask Maafi before you go to sleep. And don't let your husband leave the house without asking Maafi. Ask Maafi and then let him leave the house. The problem can always get sorted out later. Who was right, who was wrong, don't worry about those things. So maybe you asked him for Maafi also before he left the house. But there is a tension now. There's tension. Right? So now he's gone. Now you thinking you want to make conversation. So you send a BB. You send a BB to him. What you ask him, must I pick up the parcel from the post office? Right. Now you are asking it out of concern. That now you don't know, maybe he was upset when he left home, so you don't know if he has made some alternate plans or whatever. So you asking with a tone of concern. Right. But because there's tension, he is taking it in a different tone. He is taking it in a tone that, oh, now because we are in argument, now she doesn't want to run that errand for me. Right? So how he will reply? It's okay, don't bother. It's okay, don't bother. Right? Now, for nothing, this all leads to bigger problems. This all leads to bigger problems. So whenever there is tension, and whenever there is an important thing to discuss, then don't ever do it via BBM or WhatsApp or SMS or anything of that nature. And while there's tension, don't communicate via these methods. Why? Because that person is in a different mood, you are in a different mood. The tone in which the message was written could have been a totally different tone. But because of the mood we are in, we read it in a tone according to the mood that we are in, and the whole thing becomes a misunderstanding, and the one small problem that was present now becomes a big fire. So keep this advice in mind. Right. A story is narrated about a woman who was constantly at loggerheads with her husband. She was concerned about the fact that not a day would pass without an argument between the two. A friend of hers advised her to consult a certain renowned Hakim in the area. When she consulted the learned man, she expressed her concern that the problem between her and her husband may be the result of jadu. That's the first thing. No, it must be some jadu. Somebody must be did some jadu. She said to him that her husband constantly becomes angry with her at the slightest provocation. After which, she would also fly into a towering rage, making the situation worse. The Hakim told her that he would be able to cure her quite easily on condition that she brought for him 3 hairs from a lion's nape. From a lion, she must bring three hair, you know, from the mane of the lion, she must bring three hair from there. Leaving his premises, she immediately started formulating a plan to acquire the hairs from a lion. Taking a piece of meat, she proceeded to the local zoo. She threw the meat to the lion, who readily ate it up. She then made it a ritual to take a piece of meat to the lion each day at the same time, so that the lion would become familiar with her. Each day she threw the meat closer to the bars of the cage, so the lion came closer to her. Eventually the lion became so comfortable with her that she was able to stroke it on its neck as it ate the meat. When this situation prevailed, she seized the opportunity to quickly pluck three hairs from its nape. When the Hakim learned how she was able to get the hairs from the lion, he smote his forehead and said, "Alas, you managed to tame a lion and get it eating from your hand. You can then very well win your husband over, because he is definitely not as wild as a lion. Just as you were able to tame the lion by feeding it regularly, you can certainly win your husband's confidence in some way. Take care of him and you will soon have him eating from your hand. This will solve all your problems." The woman happily left the Hakim with the resolution that she would do her utmost to please her husband. If every Muslim wife abstains from backchat and admits her mistakes without trying to justify them, she will soon win the confidence of her husband and her in-laws. This approach will be even more effective if she expects, if she accepts responsibilities for wrongs that she did not do. When she was wrong, that naturally she has to accept responsibility. But here we are saying, even when she was right, even when she was right, but just to defuse the flame, she says, "Oh, sorry, maaf, make me maaf. I'm sorry, it won't happen again." So we'll stop here, and inshallah we continue again tomorrow. Allah Pak give us tawfiq to understand. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.